Hey, Shonarama here with a brand new podcast. Recording this one a little bit differently. I'm just trying to change how I'm putting these together. I didn't like all the ambient sound in the background when I was doing the podcast, so I kind of wanted to get rid of that if I could, and I didn't want to have this big freaking headset on. So what I did, I found some good software for my phone, because I recorded these on my phone before, but the output of the file output style was a file output that's not recognized anywhere. So I couldn't recognize it, because what I do is when I go home, I mix this shit in my audio recording software, but it wouldn't accept this file format. So I found another one. Hopefully the quality of this is far superior. I did kind of a test run, an obscenity laced podcast called FDF, and I might put that one out because it was kind of an interesting podcast, but I was getting to vent a bit more. I don't want to really take this place to vent so much, but anyway, what I want to talk about today is, this has been thrown around a little bit lately. I'm kind of still in the after buzz of Batman versus Superman, Batman v Superman, I apologize, a movie that I greatly, greatly enjoyed, and I don't know if I greatly, greatly enjoyed it because I'm not a hardcore DC fan, because I'm not a newbie when it comes to DC. Is it because I'm kind of in the middle? I was a DC fan, you know, when I was, like, until I was like 10 years old, and until I really got more into Marvel comics. And then I've been a kind of a passing fan all along, kind of, you know, you see the movies as they come out, you pick up a trade here and there, that sort of thing. Is that why I enjoyed this movie much more? I don't know, but a lot of people didn't enjoy this movie. And anyway, my FDF podcast will go into detail in that one. But here's something kind of the topic that kind of came up out of that podcast, and out of I've been reading a lot of news articles, and it's kind of interesting how in this cinematic universe that they have, or comics to film stuff, how it's really interesting how people say, oh, you know, this character defines, or this actor defines that character, and you can never recast the character, that sort of thing. And in recent years, with licensing, and let's take a step back here. We'll just kind of give a little bit of exposition as to why this is a topic at all. Is initially on the Marvel side of things, anyway, and on anyone but DC side of things, is whenever they wanted to put a movie out based on one of their characters, their stable of characters, what you would do is you would license that character to a film studio, and that film studio would make the movie. What the result of that is that you get a ton of studio involvement, and they would start, you know, trying to put their two cents in. And this is covered actually in depth multiple times on Chris Hardwick's Nerdist podcast. And it's really, really fascinating. When you submit a script to any company, to any movie company, and they're going to make your movie, they take the script and you get the script back with a bunch of sticky notes on it, with basically suggestions where you can change the script, or where you might want to do, you might want to change how this scene plays out. But there's also notes as to what the character should be like and how the character should act, or who, you know. So what happens is, when a comic company lends their character or licenses their character out to a movie studio to make a film about that character, the studio is going to want to make sure they get return on investment. However, the studio probably has no interest in the property whatsoever. Again, this is one of these things depicted in a lot of TV shows. If you've ever watched Californication, or if you've ever watched Entourage, or Jay Maher's, he had a great show. Like probably 10 plus years ago, probably maybe 20 plus years ago. Basically, the inside Hollywood is, and most recently in a show called Episodes, which had, oh my God, Joey from Friends on it, Matt LeBlanc in it, playing himself. What happens in Hollywood is you get producers that are interested in making a movie, and they generally want to make a movie because of analytics. Like, they'll take a look at a property and how well it does. They may not understand what it's about or what it is, but they know that they can generate revenue from this thing. But what happens is they go in and they put in suggestions to tweak a property that they have no understanding of. They don't understand the fan base of something, and they go in and tweak. So what happened back in the heyday of the first comic book movies is studio would come in and say, well, you know, I think you should cast Tom Cruise in the lead. I'm using this example specifically, and I'm going to use another example. I think Leo DiCaprio should be cast in this role. Now, what happens is, in order to sell a movie, the way movie studios work is they want to ensure that the movie's going to make money. And how do you ensure a movie makes money? You put a star in the role. If we're going to bankroll this film and put this film out there, we want a guaranteed return on investment. And that guaranteed return on investment very often is putting the right actor in the role. Nowadays, sometimes it can be that. It could be the writer. It could be the director. But basically, they're going to try to line up as many things to ensure that this movie makes money. So back in the day, you'd get, I don't know, as an example, they threw the guy that directed X-Men 3, for example, had no interest in the property, was flung into the role, and made whatever movie he wanted to make with no consideration of what the source material was. So, the same thing happens, you know, with the Batman franchise, the old Batman movies, like when Schumacher was put in charge, he made the movie he wanted to make. It wasn't a really good interpretation of the character, but it's what he thought would have been more interesting for the character. It does an injustice to the character, and then the box office tends to suffer, and it can basically kill a franchise. So, in the old days, you know, that's what would happen. So they would, you know, make whatever movie they wanted to make. Nowadays, at least the Marvel Studios method of making films is they make a good film. They pick the right actor. They're not picking the most bankable actor. They're picking, you know, they use a lot of factors. And the writing is very, very, very key. And then the director is important, but maybe not as important as the writers. So, because, I mean, Marvel is writer-driven. Everything starts with the writer and then finishes off with the artist. So what you'd find is that's the same issue. That's the same thing that happens at Marvel Studios with the films is the writer comes in and kicks out a real kick-ass script, and then it goes to the director, who is the artist in a way, who puts that vision together with his team. So what I was trying to get to is what I want to talk about was character actors that are defined by their characters and the fear of recasting. So here's two prime examples that pop up, and I'm going to use these two examples, is that when Robert Downey was cast as Iron Man and really made Iron Man fly, it was his characterization that brought the commercial appeal to Iron Man, that brought people in. His performance in that role is what crystallized and got people talking. At the time, Robert Downey Jr. had suffered one of the worst failures in Hollywood by his lifestyle choices, we'll say. And he'd raised to the apex of getting an Oscar nomination to being uninsurable as an actor, to basically eventually getting thrown in prison for, I can't remember how long it was, a year, 2 years, or whatever the heck it was. So when Marvel cast Robert Downey Jr. in the role, now in retrospect, a lot of people thought, well, that was a very safe decision to make, because he defined the Iron Man movies for a viewing audience. But in truth, when he was cast at the time, he was incredibly high risk, incredibly potentially volatile. In fact, I think they had a lot of trouble getting insurance for the film based on his reputation and history and criminal record. So when people, so let's compare that to stunt casting, which had been done for a couple of other movies that never fully realized. Was one of the choices, original choices for Iron Man was Tom Cruise way back in the day before there was a Marvel Studios and that sort of thing. And this was a blatant example of, well, you know, he's good looking, he can carry a film, he's incredibly bankable right now. If we put him in this role, Tom Cruise will go in and Tom Cruise will play Tom Cruise, and then Tony Stark will become Tom Cruise instead of the actor becoming Tony Stark. And the same thing happened when Spider-Man, the original Spider-Man was put together, they got Tobey Maguire in the role, which was a really cool thing to happen because, I mean, it worked. He was able to portray that vulnerability. The original casting choice, one of many, but the original casting choice that probably went the furthest was Leonardo DiCaprio as Peter Parker, in Spider-Man. So, eventually, you know, they got Tobey Maguire and later Andrew Garfield, and now they, you know, recast yet again. So when we say that you can't picture anyone else in that role, if they'd gone the stunt casting route of Tom Cruise or Leo DiCaprio or whomever, it probably wouldn't have succeeded. When you put too big a face on something who can't be separated from themselves on screen, where Tom Cruise plays Tom Cruise, Leo DiCaprio kind of plays Leo DiCaprio. I mean, unless you're using a character actor like Gary Oldman, who becomes characters, the characters don't become him, he becomes the character. But like, that's where you end up being. So they're not career defining, and then Tom Cruise will just go make another movie as Tom Cruise and everything's fine. So what happened, so the assumption is that Robert Downey Jr. is just this thing. Now, Iron Man became Robert Downey Jr. who became Iron Man. And what I mean by that is the Iron Man from the comics is not the Iron Man from the Iron Man films. Now, he is now. The popularity of the films has transformed Tony Stark as a comic character into a little bit more of a Robert Downey Jr.'s version of Tony Stark, and this is kind of now the new character. And then further to that, the Avengers version on film is closely resembles the Ultimate Universe's version of the Avengers. So was Robert Downey Jr. playing Robert Downey Jr., or was he playing the Ultimates version of Robert Downey Jr., who is quite a bit similar in style? So what I'm trying to get down to is, I mean, we got Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. People are saying we can't separate the two now. Tony Stark is always going to be Robert Downey Jr. Wolverine is always going to be Hugh Jackman because it was just such perfect casting. I like to take a step back from that and kind of clarify that. Here's what we got to remember. Robert Downey Jr. has been playing Tony Stark for what, 10 plus years? Hugh Jackman has been playing Wolverine for 10 plus years as well, 14 years or whatever the heck it's been, 17 years maybe, I'm not really sure. But it's a really, really long time. And they've been playing these characters for such a long period of time, and those movies have grossed so many dollars that now what's happening is we see these people as playing these characters. Are they the perfect iteration of the comic character? No. They capture a general essence of the character, but we so identify with the movie version that becomes our version of that character. Tony Stark was serious. Yes, he was a playboy, but he wasn't as sarcastic, wasn't as ego-driven. I mean, at least my recollection. I mean, I've read the 70s Iron Man comics, and there was always a darkness to Tony Stark. There wasn't so much a sarcastic wit. It's really an over-the-top performance from Robert Downey Jr., which is fine. It's thoroughly enjoyable, and I really, really enjoy it. I'll be honest, when Iron Man came out, my personal opinion was that I thought that this movie version of Iron Man was probably going to be more interesting than the comic book version. Because he, at times, the way Tony Stark was written was, for me, it didn't hit all cylinders like I wanted in a character. Peter Parker, I could totally identify with him. It was enjoyable. I really liked the storylines. I really liked his characterization in the comics. It was great. But Tony Stark to me was kind of boring. When movie version Tony Stark came out, well, that was interesting to me, and that is why I really enjoyed the movies. And it's very, very interesting, because what happened is that Tony Stark, the comic, or sorry, I should say Iron Man, the comic, which was really a C or D level hero, elevated to A status because of the movies. And this new version of Tony Stark, the sarcastic smartass, suddenly becomes an A-level character because of Robert Downey Jr.'s performance. You got to give a lot of kudos to Robert Downey Jr. that he actually took the kernel of a character and really blew him up and made him interesting. Less of a tragic hero and more of the a-hole that we kind of like character. So, you know, brilliant. Hats off. Now with Hugh Jackman, same thing. The Wolverine from the comics, the reason he was called Wolverine is because he was short. He was a runt of a man. He was just over 5 feet, 5'3" to be specific. If you're looking at any Marvel stats, Wolverine is 5'3" tall. Hugh Jackman is 6'4". He's short. He's stocky. He's hairy. He's got hairy shoulders, man. He's got hair coming out of everywhere. And you kind of picture in the comics as this smelly dude, you know, eternal body odor or whatever. He's not a clean, he's rough, like really rough around the edges. Hugh Jackman's a very attractive man, and he's tall, and he's not stocky. He's super tall and not skinny per se, but he's a thin dude. He's tall and more wiry than muscular. Now, he's got a lot of muscles on him, but as he's portrayed in the comics, maybe not initially, but in later years, I mean, he's built more like a squat version of Dave Bautista, who played in the Guardians of the Galaxy. So he went from this short little runt, kind of a gross kind of a man, to this handsome, rugged leading man. By the transformation of Hugh Jackman. This is not the be-all, end-all Wolverine version that I grew up with, or anybody grew up with, but a lot of people have liked Hugh Jackman's performance so much that they say that he cannot be separated any longer from the character. And I disagree, because that's his interpretation of a character. He changed... He's a little sappy in the movies. I mean, he does get sappy in the comic books, and maybe that followed because of the movies, but they're not exactly the same character. The comic version eventually morphed into more of the Hugh Jackman character, just like Iron Man with Iron Man. So, character defining, yes. They put such an interesting spin on this character that we actually like this character a lot more because of the spin on the character. And then we've taken it as gospel that this is what the character is now. So keep that in mind, because what's going to happen with Marvel owning the rights to most of their characters, when they want to switch an actor out, they will go ahead and do so. And they can, just like they did the first time out the gate. So that's it. That's really what I'm trying to say. So what's going to happen in the current slate of Marvel films and the X-Men films, they're going to have to recast at some point. Now, X-Men is already doing that. They've recast Storm. They've recast Cyclops. They've recast Jean Grey. They've recast Nightcrawler. And that's good. That's what should be happening. Now, what they did is they opened up a whole timeline thing to explain the character change, I guess, a bit, and the recasting and recasting younger actors. And I think eventually that's what the other comic films have to do. Eventually, they're going to have to replace their Captain America, their Thor, their Iron Man with other actors. And that is okay. That's totally okay. Because in the comics, if you think about it, using Wolverine as an example, Dave Cockrum designed a lot of those characters and designed a lot of those X-Men characters, and then John Byrne after, and then John Byrne did an amazingly long run on X-Men, and that defined how we pictured these characters to look like. Great example, when Wolverine came out, he was kind of a thin character, kind of more along the lines of Hugh Jackman. And then as he was written by other art, or as he was drawn by other artists, he became stockier and uglier and, you know. So, I mean, he was changed, right? The original basis for Wolverine, upon the original designs, he was going to be a shorter version of Clint Eastwood. That's what he was supposed to look like. He even dressed the same way as Clint Eastwood did in his movies and stuff. So, I'm just saying, every different artist on a comic book will draw the character somewhat different. There are similarities, yes, but they may change certain things. And when you change an actor on a character, the same thing is going to happen again. It's not a bad thing. If you want to see the franchise survive and continue on, recasting, rebooting, whatever you want to call it, retooling, it will happen and it should happen. Why should we only have a 10-year span of time, for example, for X-Men films, and then that's it, and then there's never any more X-Men films? That's absolutely silly. Absolutely silly. But what I don't think you should be doing is I don't think you should be rebooting. The movie belongs in the stable of that studio, and they can just continue making movies. Maybe they can take a break between when an actor is done and a new actor comes in. That's fine. But there's to reboot and retool a character and to restart the origin again is nonsensical. It doesn't make any sense. You know, if you read any comic book and that comic book ran for say 5 years and then it's done and you want more stories, well, you want more stories there, right? More stories. It's that simple. And the same thing needs to happen in the movies. I don't think we need a reboot every time. And I'm going to use the Batman v Superman example here, in that it feels to me that it is in the same universe as the Christopher Nolan films. And it can almost fit in with the Superman Returns film as well. There's plot points that are reimagined, and DC works really well for this. In their comics, you'll have the Flash, and then you have Kid Flash, who later becomes the Flash. And then you have another Flash. So the character continues to live on through generations and is replaced eventually when another character retires, dies, etc., 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 etc. You can do this in movies, and I think you should. And I don't think there's anything wrong with going that way. I think it's totally, totally fine. So, that is my view on defining actors that define the roles that make them. Yes, they do a great job in it, but you can always recast. And just to throw one last thing out there, there has been recasting within these franchises before, but within the same timeline. So in Iron Man, James Rhodey Rhodes is eventually replaced. And honestly, whatever, it's fine. It's totally fine. In the Harry Potter movies, they replaced Dumbledore because the actor died. That's fine, and there's nothing wrong with that. As long as they keep the essence of the character generally the same, then what's wrong? As long as the other artist's impersonation is good, i.e. the other actor's interpretation, which is really the artist in a way, then it's fine. Totally fine. So those are my two cents. If you guys want to slam me on my opinion, feel free. I'm open to getting commentary from you guys. And I also want to hear what you guys think of the new way I'm recording this podcast, and I hope it works for you. Anyway, we're going to sign off now. This is Sean Arama from On the Road. I'll talk to you next time. I'm just trying to stop the podcast here. Here we go. Bye.